Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. In June of 1997, the first of J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter books was published in the UK. The scarred and bespectacled boy wizard's popularity is virtually immeasurable, and his adventures fill the pages of 7 total books by Rowling, which have been the basis for 8 feature-length films. As with anything, if there is anything as popular as Harry Potter, the creativity doesn't stop there, or even with officially sanctioned theme parks. Fans of the world Rowling created continue to retell and reimagine the stories through fan fiction, music, and theater. In Potted Potter, 2 actors, Daniel Clarkson and Jeff Turner, comically and energetically deliver Harry Potter's story on stage in 70 minutes. That's 7 books in 70 minutes. In their production, which was nominated for an Olivier Award in London and has toured globally, Jeff Turner plays Harry Potter and Daniel Clarkson plays everyone else. The show will be in the GE Theater at Proctor's in Schenectady, New York next week, and we welcome Daniel Clarkson, co-star and creator of Potted Potter, to the Roundtable now. Dan, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Good to talk to you.
Before we talk specifically about Potted Potter and how that all rolled out, I would like you to tell us a little bit about yourself, your personal background and training and education.
Oh, well, I'm from London in England, and I'm an actor for all my sins and also a writer. I trained at drama school in, I think 2000 now, which makes me sound, every new year I suddenly feel a lot older when I realized it was 13 years ago now that I trained. And then was working sort of as a jobbing actor, doing sort of everything from commercials to rep theater. Then sort of wrote this show and haven't looked back since. Had that lucky break, as they say.
Your partner in the show is Jeff Turner. How did you and Jeff meet?
It was actually very strange. It was tied in with the show. Potted Potter started way back 6 years ago. It was just a idea for the launch of the 6th book. A PR company had come to us and or come to me and said, could you do something for the 6th book at midnight at one of the bookstores in London? And we had this idea of 5 books in 5 minutes, and I'd been in a meeting with them talking about how we'd go about that, and I needed to find someone who looked like Harry Potter. And I was walking back from the meeting, and I walked back through Covent Garden, which I don't know if you know Covent Garden, but it has loads of buskers and loads of entertainment sort of performing for money, being thrown in hats and things. Mm-hmm. And I saw Jeff, and I kind of knew Jeff vaguely, and he was doing a one-man sort of Treasure Island, and as he says, there were 4 Japanese tourists watching him who were very confused, and me. And I actually enjoyed it, and I looked at him, and there was one bit where he put some glasses on, and I was like, hold on a minute, if you squint and look the other way, he looks just like Daniel Radcliffe. And so we got chatting and sort of rekindled the friendship we had and had a drink. I said, would you be interested in this? And then we've sort of been stuck together in this sort of almost second marriage from then on in.
Do you have a personal history, a personal fandom of the Harry Potter books?
I do indeed. I think this is why the PR people came to me. The friend of mine who worked for the company knew that I was one of these geeky fans. And I knew that when the 5th book had come out a couple of years earlier, I had been in that queue at midnight dressed as a wizard. And at 6 or 4, it's sort of surrounded by children who are all dressed up. And I'm stood there dressed up going, no, this is fine. This is okay. So I was really swept up in the world. I think I started reading them to my younger brother. He's 10 years younger than me. And so I think he was 9 when the first one came out. And as I was the actor, I was given the storybook to go up and read and be all the characters. And then he'd fall asleep and I'd carry on reading the books. So I think to this day he's realized he still hasn't heard all of the books, because every time he fell asleep, I'd read another 2 chapters. Then the next day we'd go, right, so we're here. So he has no, to him, the stories made no sense at all. But that's when I really got hooked on them.
I didn't dress up, but I did go to the midnight releases over here too.
Excellent. That's okay. I don't feel as bad now.
How did you decide to call the show Potted Potter?
That was, and I actually have to give full credit to my mum on that one. As we were trying to come up with the name of the show, and we were looking for something that meant reduced or, you know, meant condensed, and we were trying all these other things, and my mum said, oh, you should say potted. And we were like, what? She goes, well, it means condensed in Old English. Potted Potter, that'd be nice. And it was one of those moments where we went, okay, mum, that's a great idea. And suddenly everyone sat around going, has my mum really just named the show for us? So I'm going to give her the credit for that one. It was sat round a table with my mum making us a cup of tea while we were writing the show. And she came up with the name.
Jeff plays Harry throughout the show, as you mentioned, and you play everyone else, which is a number of characters, of course. Do you have a favorite part of the story or character to perform?
I love the way that we portray Voldemort, because I think really the main story is Harry and Voldemort in this fight. And, you know, I really see Voldemort as this poor, sort of misunderstood character, because he's this the best wizard that ever existed. You know, he's the Lord of Darkness. He is the sort of epitome of evil magic. Yet there is an 11-year-old boy who's beating him at every turn. Now, that's not going to be good for your ego. That's going to destroy you inside. You know, I know how I feel when my little brother ever beat me at a race or beat me in chess or beat me. Now, to have that all the time and your arch nemesis be a child, you know, you're going to be in a real sort of mess of a place. So I love playing Voldemort and sort of just having fun with that as he gets more and more aggravated about this child beating him.
Can you estimate, or do you know, how many times you have done the show?
I think we worked out while we were in New York over the summer, we hit our 1,000 show mark.
Wow.
So I think now, and we've just got back from Chicago, where we were all Christmas, so I think now we're hitting sort of, you know, we're moving up through the thousands now.
And did you, I mean, could you have imagined when you put it together that it would tour the world and have so many performances?
Not at all. This is, I mean, this is craziness. This is, I think, every stage of this show. I mean, when we first took it to Edinburgh Festival up in Scotland, and we took the sort of initial 5-minute sketch and made it into an hour show. And we were playing in a church hall to 60 people every day. And that for us was amazing that we were able to do our own show. And then suddenly we were picked up by a producer who wanted to tour the UK, a sort of small 100, 200 seater venues around the UK. And that for us was amazing. And then we went to the West End and suddenly there were tube posters on the sort of underground trains of our show, and we got nominated for an Olivier Award, and you're like, they're going, well, it can't get any further than this. This is as far as we can go. This is amazing. And then suddenly someone goes, well, actually, we're going to take you over to North America, and we'll go to New York. And you're just, at that point, you're like, well, I'm just waiting for anybody to realize we're just two friends messing around.
And you got a great review in the New York Times.
I know. I know, which is, you know, that's something, again, I was, like, bowled over, and you know, you're reading, like, the New York Times review comes out and love the show, and then compared me to a caffeinated Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And now Robin Williams is my hero, and suddenly you're reading that, and you're going, wow, that's, I mean, I would have that man's children right there for writing that.
For a period of time, two other performers toured the show. Was that weird for you and Jeff?
Yes, that's when, I think, first of all, back in 2009, we got a job from the show. Some people from the BBC had seen us and wanted us to present for kids' television. So we sort of left the show for a year and they took it to Australia. And then they came to New York with us and they were also sort of being our alters and working with us out there, which was really tough because it was like giving up your firstborn child to a babysitter for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you've nurtured this and you've grown with it and you're like there going, oh, no one else could do this the way I do. No one understands this. And suddenly you have to step back and go, okay, you can take this, you can look after it. And then it sort of comes quite tragic when you realize there are actors out there who can play you better than you can.
Do you know if J.K. Rowling or any of the actors from the films know about the show?
Yes, I'm sure they do. J.K., there's a story with Rowling that back when we first went to Edinburgh, so I think it was 2006, we just finished our last run in this church hall and we were all packing up. And a young girl from the box office came in floods of tears. And we were like, well, what's wrong? We've had a great run. Everything's all right. And the box office manager was like, tell them what happened. And she said, a woman came to get a ticket, and I told her we were sold out. And I said, what's wrong with that? And the box office manager went, we realized it was J.K. Rowling.
Oh,
we walked
no.
away. We all recognized her. I was like, what? So she did come on, and we were sold out, and we turned her away. So we've now said wherever we are in the world, there is always one seat that we will keep. So if she ever comes anywhere, that seat will be there for her. Although how I'd react if she was sat in the front row, I think it would. I think I'd have to stop the show and just get her to sign my book.
Right.
And just turn it into an hour chat sort of question and answer session with her.
The stories in the books and the films have magic in them.
Yeah.
Obviously flying, which is representable on stage, but you guys don't fly.
Yeah.
How did you work out how you would handle things like, you know, magic and flying? There is a Quidditch game in the show.
That was a real challenge. I mean, and to me, that's been sort of the favorite challenge, actually. We were talking about this recently, is that some of the most epic pieces from the book, like, say, the graveyard encounter between Harry and Voldemort for the first time he actually sees Voldemort, where Cedric Diggory dies before he gets reincarnated as a sparkly vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of, like, that sort of, you know, iconic scene. And we're like, they're going, we're just two actors. How do we represent this? And so we came up with this idea of flipping it on its head and doing this sort of magic off, where we sort of play the Run DMC. It's like that. And we're all sort of like trying to top each other with tricks, with sort of disco music going on, and, you know, and really sort of send it up and send up the battle. And I think that was a challenge for us, to find a way to send something up and make it fun, because we don't have millions of pounds worth of budget, and we don't have all these lavish props and lots of actors. It's just two guys with a bunch of threadbare sort of hats and wigs to represent everything. And I think that's why currently we end the show with the disco version of I Will Survive, duetted with Voldemort and Harry, which I think is a perfect way to end any show. Always go out on a song.
You and Jeff have two, at least that I found, two other potted shows. Do you want to tell us a little bit about those?
Oh, yeah. We have Potted Pantomime, or Potted Panto, which is very much a British tradition. Every Christmas we have these pantomimes where they sort of tell fairy stories, like Cinderella, for example, and the men dress up as women, and the principal boys are played as women, and they get together with the principal girl that's a woman. So, and then everyone tells all these innuendo jokes, and we let our kids see it. And it's become this huge Christmas tradition, and it's, you know, a very fun form of Christmas theatre. And every actor, I think, in Britain is basically employed over Christmas doing these pantomimes at all the big theatres around the country. So Potted Panto, we try to do 8 of these pantomimes in an hour, where we again play all the princesses and wizards and witches and princes and the ugly sisters, and, you know, tell all of these different stories. And then that got an Olivier nomination, which was amazing for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other show is Potted Pirates, which is, I like to call the critically ignored Potted Pirates, which was our difficult second show, which I still thought was lovely. But I think it was more massaging mine and Jeff's ego that we got to dress up as Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow and sort of do everything about pirates in an hour. And we loved it, but it sort of seems that that one's sort of been put on the shelf for a while. I hope one day we can come back to it.
The U.S. tour that you're about to have, I glanced at the dates, and it's January through May. Are you going to be over here that entire time?
So I think we're sort of back and forth, sort of. If we have 2-3 days off, we're being flown back into London, which is lots of fun to play with your body clock. I mean, I'm in London at the moment for, I think, another 2 days. And I have no idea what time it is anymore. But it's always great sort of to come home, see the family, see my girlfriend, because, you know, she has to sometimes be reminded what I look like. So, and, you know, and she understands that Jeff's pretty much my second wife, and she just has to deal with that. So we will pretty much be out there the whole time, sort of back and forth. But I think we do have a small run in London in between in March. So we'll be coming back for 3 weeks in March to run in London.
Do you imagine you'll keep doing Potted Potter until nobody wants to see it, if ever that happens?
Yes. Well, it's very strange, isn't it? Because I think the whole Potter and the Harry Potter phenomenon, no one could ever have predicted anything like it. And, you know, this was almost, as you say, if you were there at the launch of the books, it was like Beatlemania for books.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that'll ever happen again. And it's amazing to see the fans out there every time we do the show who are coming to see it and wanting to talk about Harry Potter and wanting to keep that alive. And so it's almost like a show that I can go one day, I can hand down to my children and go, you know Harry Potter, it's still huge. Look at this show I'm giving you. Go off and do it.
Uh-huh.
But it is a very energetic show, and I'm sure Harry Potter and Potter Potter will definitely outlive me. And there's a lot of other projects we want to work on, but right now we're loving every minute of being able to do this. And, you know, what other job means I get to see all these amazing places around the world and dress up as a wizard?
Dan, thank you very much for your time, and have a wonderful bit of your tour in Schenectady.
Looking forward to it. Have a great day.
You too. Potted Potter will run in the GE Theater at Proctor's in Schenectady, New York, January 15th through the 20th. For showtime and ticket information, visit proctors.org. The website for Potted Potter is pottedpotter.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.